Mother Earth, we lie.
Vaman,
your good self.
He,
certainly.
Veda,
no.
Tatsarvam,
all that you have inquired from me.
Yat,
that.
Mom,
from me.
Dharma,
O personality of religious principles.
Anuprichchasi,
you have inquired one after another.
Chaturabhi,
by four.
Vartase,
you exist.
Yena,
by which?
Harai,
by the legs.
Loka,
and each and every planet.
Sukha-avahai,
increasing the happiness. Translation. The earthly deity, in the form of a cow, must reply to the personality of the spirit in the form of a man. O Dharma, whatever you have inquired from me, shall be known to you. I shall try to reply to all those questions. Once you too were maintained by your brilliance, and you increased happiness of all the believers by the mercy of the world. Purport. The principles of religion are laid down by the Lord himself. And the executors of such laws, as Dhamaraj or Dhamaraj. Such principles work fully in the age of Satyayuga. In the Treta Yuga, they are reduced by a fraction of one fourth. In the Dwapara Yuga, they are reduced to one half. And in the Kali Yuga, they are reduced to one fourth, gradually diminishing to the 0 point. And then devastation takes place. Happiness in the world depends proportionally on the maintenance of religious principles in the individual life. The best part of balance is to maintain principles despite all kinds of odds. Thus, when we are happy, we will expand from the present. You might be wondering how it is that we are looking for the cow. Personality and just principles they go from your core. Changing bodies is nothing extraordinary. It goes on all the time. And it is not a special or a superlative mystic power to change into whatever form you like. The Krishna book, you can read about demons doing that. The various demons who attack Krishna, the Asura, Uttana, whatever. They all are expert in just changing their bodily form. To whatever circumstance they wanted to adapt to. Nothing special about that. So certainly the demigods, who are higher than human beings, they can do that. They can adjust their form. They're not changing the soul. It's just like you change clothes, they can change bodies. So therefore, the deity of Earth, Bhumi, she can take the form of a cow. Yamaraj can take the form of a bull. Nothing special. These things to modern mundaners seem quite inconceivable. Of course, Josh knows from doing this. this alien work thing. This is what people see in aliens all the time. It's all shape-shifting. So it's big people finding it astonishing. And therefore, many scientists don't believe it. They'll change their form. Nonsense. It's all throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. No big deal. The demons can do it. The demigods can do it. The demons do it for their demoniac purposes, even to attack Krishna. The kings that were associated with Kamsa, they had this mystic power. All those demons that you read about in the Krishna book that were killed by Krishna and Balaram, they're kings who had that power to transform their body. They were associates of Kamsa, and so they attacked in that way. Nothing special. The demigods can also do it for their purposes. So, no need to wonder about this point. It's just a common thing. It's a common mystic power. These days, people have no idea of any kind of extraordinary power unless it's through gross technology, computers, or something like that. Srimad Bhagavatam presents even material technology far beyond what most they know about, just because spiritual technology. Principles of religion. This should be the concern of every proper person, how to maintain the principles of religion. You should have that concern in your individual life. How are you going to maintain the principles of religion for yourself and others? Otherwise, what is the point of life? The best part of valor is to maintain the principles despite all kinds of eyes. Thus, one can be happy during the span of life and ultimately return to God. Now, where does religion come from? Just like this boy was telling yesterday. He's going to us, the winemaker, his partner, she's going to us, and she's going to clothes, maybe some. So, he just said, well, look, it all sounds great what you said. You spoke very articulately and with great, you know, persuasion, but, you know, I appreciate your opinion. And, of course, if you go to the Christians, they'll give their opinion, and this one has his opinion, that one has her opinion. Yeah, it's all, you know, it's all going on, all the opinions. So, we hear this again and again. Now, the question is, whose opinion counts? Because what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? That is my opinion. So Krishna also has an opinion. Every person has an opinion. So we're not afraid of opinions because we're not afraid of persons. As soon as you say the absolute truth is impersonal, that means the absolute truth has no opinion. But Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, that is my opinion. Now what is the difference between Krishna's opinion and our opinion? Or anybody else's opinion? That is what people have to try to understand. Otherwise the guy is right. Yeah, you know, you got your opinion, you know, this is the Krishna opinion, the Christian opinion, the New Age opinion, it's all, everyone's opinionated, so, all glories to that. He's right, except for the fact that some person's opinion counts more than others. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is establishing that his opinion counts. Why? Then you have to understand it was Krishna. Krishna's opinion is final because everything belongs to Krishna. If everything belongs to you, your opinion is final. Krishna is a person, and his opinion is final because everything is his energy. So you just can't brush Krishna off saying, okay, fine, we've heard from you, but this guy says something else, and that one says something else, and so on. It's just up to you to, you know, sort it out the best you can. As soon as you understand it's a supreme proprietor, then you're locked in. You're shackled. You're bound. As soon as you accept that you're part of Krishna, then you have to abide by Krishna's dictates. We don't like that. We don't have the capacity to make dharma. We don't have the capacity to make a path. We discuss this quite often. Everyone says, you know, find your own path. But you don't have the capacity to make your own way. The path has already been set. That's what dharma means. So this takes great humility to accept that you are prescribed you are regulated. You are fit into somebody else's system. Until you feel that you have, that you're fitting into Krishna's system, then where's Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness means to wake up and understand you're enmeshed in Krishna's system. Now how are you going to deal with that? Either you deal with it materially or spiritually, but you can't get away from Krishna's system. You're a part of it. You're a living, breathing, so to speak, member of Krishna's system. And Krishna's system is living and breathing. So, it is impossible for you to be a path maker. It is impossible for you to be a dharma maker. You are prescribed. You are bound. Later in the Bhagavatam it says that just like bulls are bound by rings in the nose, similarly, human beings are bound by dharma. Now it's up to you to get the most full understanding of dharma so that you can get the most benefit. And you'll get the most full understanding of dharma where you get the most full understanding of the source of dharma. When you have a scientific understanding that everything is Krishna's energy, well, naturally you'll become a bit interested in accepting Krishna's opinion. But if you simply think, yeah, well, there's God, yeah, great, and then there's so many other persons, you'll never feel bound. That's why people have rejected Christianity, because they don't have any analytical or scientific understanding of how the Supreme Lord is the proprietor and enjoyer. Some people think, oh, all right, so what? The Ten Commandments came down from Mount Sinai, good deal. I can go to a hill, you know, go to Mount Edgemont and, you know, come down to my opinion. It's all the same. But once you understand who is Krishna, then everything starts to click. That's why it's our duty to understand the science of Krishna. Then we become interested in dharma. It's just like once you understand that the government is controlling, then you realize that it's not up to you to make the laws about taxes and GST and this and that. Once the government decides, you have to follow. You become peaceful. What can be done? That's the way it is. Similarly, once you understand you're part of Krishna and Krishna, you own the controls of the government, you become peaceful. You're always anxious like a criminal. You've never been a criminal, so I'm not as soon as a criminal tries to do something, you know, it's anxiety. I'm going to be caught. Shoplifting. Good anxiety. Yeah. Then it can't be peace, because you're not recognizing the supreme control. Our biggest problem is we think we're independent. You have no independence, but you can imagine. You have minute independence, as I was explaining yesterday. You simply can choose how to relate to Krishna, because the material energy, you have a spiritual energy. That's it. But we think we've got unlimited options. So many roads to choose. In fact, we can make our own road, that's the best thing. But you can't. Therefore, the only way you're going to be peaceful is to understand Krishna. Then you'll accept God. In this age of Kali, as you all know, dharma is particularly in bad shape. No one has any program for trying to understand the Supreme Personality of God. No program. This is the tragedy that you deal with, for example, in preaching. You see it all the time when you distribute books. People have no concern for the most important things in life. In any other yuga, especially such yuga, Treta yuga, the situation would be the reverse of what it is now. Just like now, we are in the tiny minority, and all thoughtless people are in the vast majority. In the other yugas, such in Treta particular, it's the reverse. People who don't think about these things are in the tiny minority. that's hard for us to understand, because it seems that this is just the way it is, that those who are trying to follow Dharma, they're always a scant few. Yes, the human being has the propensity for religion. Currently, scientists are trying to say that it's due to some function of the brain. The religious impulse is coming from genes. It's just human beings are programmed by their genes to want to ask why. So it's nothing more than that. The religious impulse. Just in the brain. Just like the reproductive impulse, so there's the religious impulse too. Probably they're thinking that they could fiddle around with your genes and get rid of the religious impulse. Increase the reproductive impulse and get rid of the religious impulse. Unless a human being inquires into religious principles, then he doesn't have to come back. And our great tragedy is that we see every day the ways the savages destroying themselves. That's what society is doing, destroying its citizens. Families are destroying their children. Amidst all this, Lord Chaitanya has distributed the Hare Krishna. Those who take to the chanting seriously, they can find a way through all these problems. Otherwise, not possible. Just go out into the ocean and try to stop the waves. Impossible. Similarly, you cannot stop the waves of hell either. But if you take shelter of the chanting, you'll have protection. It's like an umbrella in the storm. You can't stop the storm, but you can protect yourself. So those who are taking shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra, they get an umbrella against the storm. In Kali Yuga, religious principles are reduced to 1/4, gradually diminishing to the 0 point, and then devastation takes place. In other words, by the time Kali Yuga is finished, about approximately 427,000 years from now, things are so low that there's nothing you can do except kill everybody. So Krishna comes as Kali Yuga, does that, and the few remaining sanctified persons, they start the Satya Yuga, the cycle starts again. Now, what are you going to do? Say, no, oh, I don't believe that. How do you know what's going to happen 427,000 years from now? Why do you out of hand reject the Vedic version? Just be humble and say, I don't know, I don't have any way of knowing on my own. This is another arrogance people have. They cannot accept what it means, the implications of having a perfect senses. And they can't accept that others may have access to information beyond the range of ordinary senses. Now, how do you know it's right? Does anywhere in the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita say believe? No. You apply these religious principles, apply these spiritual techniques, and then you'll get verification. Otherwise, first of all, how have you all given up so many bad habits? Things that were used to be your life and soul. How have you given them up? Because you're verifying that there is a spiritual reality. Certainly at least you are aware of that much. Now you have to become aware, is that spiritual reality Krishna? Because actually, unconsciously, there is attachment to impersonalism. That's running through all Western religions. All spiritual religions. Not only the West, also in India, strong persons, etc. You see, as soon as the Supreme Absolute Truth is person, that means you're bound to someone's desires. You're bound in a relationship. Have you ever tried to love the sky? Have a relationship with the sky? Just try it. Walk out. Pass over. Look at the sky. I want to have a relationship. No, you need person for a relationship. Therefore, impersonalists cannot make definitive spiritual progress. What is their station? What are they trying to latch onto? So therefore, as the Bhagavatam says, they end up just coming back down to the earthly plane of activities and doing welfare work. I assume this is kind of enough. coming. You're being harassed by the forces of your religion. Let's just accept that. That's the way it is. Everywhere you turn your head, there's your religion. Thrust at you. So much so that you're made to feel that you are the freak. Well, actually, from the overall cosmological point of view, Kali Yuga is a freakish time. It is a great art and a desperate need of science how to remain uncontaminated. It's always strong. This is the most noble form. To learn that for yourself and teach it to others. There must be compassion. If the devotee of Krishna does not show compassion, there is a hope for him. And we make spiritual advancement by being compassionate. Compassion means how to distribute your faith to this person. Daniel's evil's material desire to produce. When there is connection to Krishna, then you can understand what the spiritual reality is and let go of the shadow. But think about the shadows, how attached you are to the shadow. You won't slacken your grip on the shadows. So you have knowledge of the spiritual reality. Spiritual reality means name, form, qualities, pastimes. Spiritual reality means threefold bending form, eyes like peacock feathers, eyes like blooming lotus flowers, peacock feather in the hair. Flute, that is the ultimate reality. Is what? The sky. How does personal come from impersonal? If the ultimate reality is impersonal, then where does person come about? How does person come from impersonal? Impersonal. To understand that the Supreme Absolute Truth is ultimately personal. That is the great achievement. And then you begin to mold your life to satisfy that Supreme Personal. Bhakti means how to get to know Krishna. We're trying to know so many things. What about knowing Krishna? Krishna has qualities. Krishna has activities. Krishna has form. We're meant to know about those things. But in our impurified, polluted state, we have no appetite for understanding this. Yesterday we were trying to point out to people that human life begins with sense control. Discipline, purification. They can conceive of the connection between purification and pleasure. Vedic culture holds that as axiomatic. Without purification, there can be no pleasure. There must be some cleansing. Now people sometimes know how to clean the body, but do they know how to clean the consciousness? No, that is not a concern. So this is what we are trying to do. We're trying to purify ourselves. Let's take into account the disadvantages. The disadvantages are that we're living in a very contaminated environment. And not only is that environment polluting, but it's also pushing in a militant way against endeavors for spiritual development. This is what's going on. Knowingly or unknowingly, almost all the people are taking part in this negative pattern. Knowingly or unknowingly. This makes things difficult. This is why it's difficult to become Krishna conscious without taking the time to find the mercy of it. That knowingly or unknowingly, everyone is acting in such a way as to make Dharma or real religion extinct. They may be nice family members, they may be nice teachers in a certain way, but unconsciously, due to simple desires, they're acting in such a way as to make religion extinct. So this makes it a little bit difficult how to deal with people. Sometimes you wonder, well, why can't we just like everybody? Well, we have to go to the other extreme. You should just reject everyone. Not look at their faces. No. You have to adopt compassion. Compassion means you understand someone needs help and you know how to help them. We're not sealing ourselves off from the world, nor are we immersing ourselves in their foolishness. We're trying to help. Help means according to authorized knowledge, not just a sentiment of help. We are living in the world to distribute fortune and mercy. Because we also are part of that treatment. So I know it's very difficult. But Lord Chaitanya is very difficult. And if you can see your way to assisting Lord Chaitanya in strictly the one of the created time, you get special credit. What are the impediments against being an instrument for Lord Chaitanya? Selfishness. We want to preserve ourselves. But what are we saving ourselves for? Time is pillaging us. Death will execute us. Therefore, we say the Vaishnava is like a desire tree. One to go with the Krishna, and he goes to the Krishna. A desire tree, an ocean of mercy, a titan on the top of the nature of Christ. Wish to build a desire tree, whatever you want. A tree can get, there's no trees like that. It's a spiritual desire tree, help it to us. Dead leaves. Take shelter of an apple tree, you just get apples. But a desire tree, whatever you want, we can't give. Sorry, Vaishnava is compared to that desire tree. But we have to become qualified to be desire trees. And the main thing we have to come to grips with is there is dharma. There is such a thing as religious principles. It's not all whatever you feel, whatever the voice says within, as the guy was talking about last night. Okay, everybody here will agree that's nonsense. Right? But we do completely agree when Krishna says this, that, the other.
Some of them Krishna says sound good, but you know, you just gotta have to see your own way to it, you know?
So the challenge is, do you actually understand what religious principles are? How they are authority? Coming from authority. In other words, do you understand what it means to be bound, to be part of someone else? This is what's making us afraid.
Shake Krishna's effort. I want to establish my own effort.
Bhakti means waking up to what already is going on, that you're enmeshed eternally in Krishna's network. Can't get away. You can just hallucinate that you've gotten away. So that's what you see going on all the time, mass hallucination. So painful to see. It's so omnipresent that you can just feel a sense of hopelessness, like, where am I? What can I do if it's all this? I'm just one person. That's why we have to constantly keep our consciousness fresh. Otherwise, you will get a sense of, like, impossible. But that's me, one person, it's millions and millions of people who are hell bent. The problem is hell bent. What is the meaning to? Come on. Why all this pressure on me? All this pressure on me to control my senses and save everyone. No, there is not all this pressure on you. There is simply Hare Krishna Mantra. Shiva Bhagavata. And the regular principle of control. By the regular principle, you're not a slave. Take up. Are the foundations of humanity's spiritual struggle. But in our polluted state, feel them as an inconvenience.
Because you don't know what you're going to do.
This chapter is letting you know that things weren't always like the way they are now. There are other ages of the universe when human beings are far more advanced than they are now. Western knowledge says that human beings, they are the pinnacle of human development. Srimad Bhagavatam, in this chapter, is telling you the opposite. Human beings, they are the worst. So now you have to think, how can that be so? Sometimes, you know, not all the people they follow all the time, even all the devotees that they're from, but at least they try. In materialistic society, they don't even have a concept of proper standard. Let's speak of trying to follow it. Phil Prabhupada once said, God is the devotees. They're not all angels, but at least they're trying. That's a very high thing, is to try. At least they're trying. That is glorious. And it is possible to be successful. Please understand that there is no question of happiness without religious pursuit. It is the divine right of your other body. So let us push forward through the purity of your past. Revive our lives. And even in the beginning stages, we can all feel the transcendent pleasure of chanting. Just repeating three words over and over. Why is that? Who is this Krishna? Just say his name. And he says, who is this Krishna? I'm just saying hello to Krishna. Not one. What are we doing for 35 minutes? What's going on here? You can imagine Jenny calling up some of your old friends. You know what I did? For 45 minutes, I was just singing through words. That's a cool one. There's a techno music behind it. Was it a trance dancing? It was just singing Hare Krishna for 45 minutes. It was the peak of my life. Now we should think, upon tasting the nectar of chanting, we should think, why is it? Who is this Krishna? We should be curious. Why is it that I'm happy chanting? You're wondering about that. What is this Krishna? Why am I chanting Hare Krishna? Got this bee? Put this thing down on your neck. Why? Why is it there? Why? But who is this Krishna whose name you're chanting? So you should be curious to know more about Krishna. Stay away from that. He's dying to know about Krishna. Don't be wooden-headed. The funny thing is, the extreme materialists, not everybody, the extreme materialists, they say, you're in some kind of cult, mind control. And here, all we're doing is yelling at everyone, use your brain, think! You notice that? Now, do you hear materialists saying that? Think! No! Don't think too much. Who is it, I think? Was it Juliet who told me that she was in school, high school, and asking questions, and the high school teacher told her, it's just a phase you go through when you're a teenager asking questions about life. Soon you'll mature. Was that you? Soon you'll mature beyond asking questions about existence. You're 16 years old, so you expect it to be a question of existence. When you become a mature adult, you can ask such questions on this. So we're just imploring, begging, pleading, try to understand Krishna. Use your intelligence. Why is the sense gratification is detrimental? What does it mean that this is Kali Yuga? What does it mean to be a member of demoniac culture? What does that mean? Don't just, you know, this is not just slogans. I think that's what everyone's afraid of, slogans. You don't want to just throw slogans out. You don't want to throw slogans at you. Yeah, we need to get purified. But what's the meaning behind all that? Once you're convinced in that way, then you'll be able to convince others. Because basically that's what they think. You guys got your slogans, other people have theirs. You guys are nice, you make nice food, so we don't mind your slogans. But that's what they are, slogans. Slogans you use to rally around. Use your intelligence to understand the process of devotional service. Krishna consciousness is brain giving. He says brainwashing makes me clean the brain. You cannot understand spiritual knowledge when there's illicit sex, intoxication, beating, and there. Impossible. Now, how is that so? You should try to understand. Become enthusiastic and vibrant about the fact that far the description of people have a chance to know them. And speak. All right. Think about it. Ready, ready, go, ready.